We're talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman Lucas, let's talk about several things that are going on right now in our nation's capital. You and Congressman Bridenstine had a chance to push through a bill related to some weather announcements, weather warnings. Tell me about that particular measure, why it's important for rural Oklahoma.
Trying to dramatically modernize the National Weather Service to improve the quality of the forecasts, to give us, whether it's dealing with adverse weather such as tornadoes or just general weather forecasting, a more efficient, more effective look into what's coming. From an agricultural perspective, whether it's dealing with the drought issues or hazardous weather or anything from freezes on down we deal with, this is important. How do we do that? We will compel the Weather Service to use private data as well as public data. We're making a big push to complete the present set of weather satellites, basically saying, think outside of the box, use private resources and mix them with public resources, conduct various studies, but speed up your forecast and increase your efficiencies because it's important to everyone's life, property, and personal health.
Congressman, let's talk a little bit about some of the agricultural things that are out there right now. Most certainly, everybody continues to watch, wonder, or wait on who President-elect Trump may pick regarding his USDA secretary. What are you hearing, at least on the congressional side of things, you know, as far as what apparently the Trump transition team is thinking? What would you like to see, you know, ideally in a GOP Secretary of Agriculture?
First of all, Ron, there are several names like former Governor Perdue that just keep appearing in the discussions up here. Then there are a variety of people whose names appear for a few days and disappear. I think of my old colleague, former Congressman Bonilla from South Texas, Southwest Texas, who, by the way, would have been a great ag secretary whose name was mentioned with great intensity for a while and kind of now has dropped off. Most of us just want the slot filled. We want a person that understands production agriculture, understands the diversity of the country, and is prepared to hit the ground running. I am still hopeful and enthusiastic that the administration will make that decision. Part of our problem now by coming at this part of the cabinet selection process is they're becoming all consumed by the inaugural process and the swearing in on the 20th and the physical beginning of the new administration. So that's probably distracted a little bit of attention from us. You've seen many reports in the media about perhaps someone with a cultural diversity kind of a background. From my perspective, as long as the individual cares about rural America, understands production, agriculture, and processing, I don't care where he or she comes from. I don't care what their background is. I just want someone who can step up and immediately go to work. Now, that said, you've got a different administration coming in. You've got a strong Republican majority in the House. You've got what I believe will be a functioning Republican majority in the Senate. And entitlement reform is going to be one of those topics. Chairman Conaway has, in the House Ag Committee, the gentleman who took my place a couple years ago, has spent 2 years very aggressively with hearings and investigations and reviews of the social nutrition title of the Farm Bill, commonly referred to as most people as food stamps. I would expect in this next Farm Bill that should be completed in the fall of 18 that some of that entitlement reform will be directed in that area. But also remember, there are other areas in there that are very similar that we should all be just as sensitive about as we are about food stamps, and that's everything from federal crop insurance and the subsidies to support that, to the conservation programs, to rural development, to ag research. There are a whole myriad of things that the reformers may want to look at, and we need a secretary who understands how we got to this point and why we need to move forward. So, again, I'm ready for a secretary. I want someone that understands, and I'm optimistic, enthusiastic that the Trump administration will provide us one.
On the Farm Bill conversations, obviously nutrition will be a big part of that as we get into 2017, 2018. What are you hearing from Chairman Conaway? In other words, what really is his game plan to try to move this thing forward to come up with some sort of a reasonable bill sometime next year?
Chairman's comment to me is that he intends to work towards a process that would give us a new farm bill by the end of September 2018, the regular time. I've reminded the chairman that in almost every cycle I can think of since I've been in Congress, we've wound up at least with one extension or maybe two of the existing farm bill, and therefore we shouldn't be surprised. But Mike is I think focused on getting to that appropriate target in 18. We'll have more hearings this summer. We'll work through the preparation process with the new members, getting everyone up to speed. But mechanically, and I've not had a explicit discussion with Mike about what day to start a markup, but you're probably talking about the early spring of 18. So we've still got a year before we'll legislatively get into the process.
Seems like there's a lot of conversation within the farm groups right now of a desire to maybe come a little more united to the House and to the Senate on farm policy this next go round. It was, you know, based on your understanding how you dealt with them in this 13-14 process, would that be something that would really help accomplish, you know, getting this thing done on time?
It's a matter of survival. Historically, we have pulled together all the commodity groups, have pulled together. That fractured last time a bit. I think some of that had to do with the good prices that we'd had in the previous years running up to the implementation of the 2014 Farm Bill. Everyone might have had an excessive amount of confidence, but now that corn is half of what it was 2 years ago, cattle are half of what they were 2 years ago, wheat's half of what it was 2 years ago, cotton more than that. I think most folks now remember that this is not just an exercise in gamesmanship or political chess. This is real economic life and death for rural America. And, of course, ultimately the consumer who benefits from our hard work and efforts, I think we'll all be a bit engaged to a higher degree this time, and that will help us put the ultimate farm bill together. You have particular areas, Ron, where there are challenges. The language coming out of the WTO settlement with Brazil over cotton last time has put cotton producers at a disadvantage. And I was concerned about that at the time the language was offered up by the National Council. We thought we had an ability through the oilseed language to provide a little relief, and the outgoing administration with Secretary Vilsack chose to believe that that was not possible. We'll get a new secretary soon. But there are some areas where particular groups are under greater pressure, and that will make, I hope, the necessary consensus building just a little easier this time. I don't wish on Mr. Conaway or anybody that comes after him the process that I had to go through last time. That was no fun, Ron. But we ultimately got it done. It took 2.5 years, but we got it done. And that's why we have the framework we can work off now to create the next farm bill.
Regarding trade, that seems to be one of the real, I guess, a bit of heartburn for a lot of folks in agriculture. Some of the comments by Mr. Trump as regards to the Trans-Pacific Partnership and even NAFTA. What do you think? How does Congress interact with the president on this issue?
Well, you have trade authority scattered out over a number of committees, from Ways and Means, of course, statutorily, ag because of our interest in selling agricultural products outside of the country. I think we have to give the new administration a few months to kind of mature and come to grips with all the circumstances. I know there were a lot of comments made in the campaign and comments made since the campaign, but the bottom line is still this. We have to be able to sell our products into the world market. I represent a district where we produce more pork and we produce more beef and cotton and wheat than we can, for instance, consume. We need to sell into the world markets. My neighbors produce more oil and gas in our region of the country than we can consume. We need to be able to sell that into the world market and bring all that cash back home. I would hope, being the kind of successful businessman that President-elect Trump has been, when he fully assesses the situation. Now, there's nothing wrong with fair trade. There's nothing wrong with responsible trade. There's nothing wrong with balanced trade. But that, I think, as the administration grows into its responsibilities, they'll come to understand trade is not just it's a matter of life and death for the industries that especially we have in Oklahoma.
One other area, Congressman, that, of course, Oklahoma is going to basically put a pretty key player into the Trump administration in Scott Pruitt. That's got to make you feel pretty good about the prospects of maybe turning this waters of the U.S. mess around.
Oh, absolutely. There's no better individual for the role of being the next EPA director than Oklahoma's present Attorney General, Scott Pruitt. His track record on waters of the U.S., his track record on emissions, his willingness to stand up and buck the old system at EPA here in Washington, D.C., he'll be wonderful because he has what it takes to turn the bureaucracy around. Remember, even though the upper levels of that agency, like all agencies, are political appointees, you have an army of career civil servants there, most of whom joined in previous administrations for a reason. Scott's the kind of fellow who can tame that monster and turn it around. This might be, from Oklahoma's perspective, not just a matter of pride, but from an economic perspective, this might be President Trump's most important appointment to the cabinet for us, the EPA director, and thank goodness it's Mr. Pruitt.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma's 3rd Congressional District visiting with us on the long line from his office in our nation's capital. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.